College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. This is our special preview and breakdown of the American Conference, and we will give you a breakdown of that conference from soup to nuts. Later in this show, we will be joined by Central Florida head coach Johnny Dawkins, and I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your American Conference related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go to audible.com/CHday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. And as I mentioned, we are going to break down the American Conference from soup to nuts this week. And when you talk about the American Conference next season moving forward, you have to talk about the addition of Wichita State, which in my opinion completely changes the national perception of the American Conference. When you look at this league right now from top to bottom, you have two teams at the top, Wichita State and Cincinnati, that will be ranked in the top 15 at the start of next season. But to me, things get really interesting after that, because now all of a sudden, because of Wichita State, a bona fide top 10 team, the American Conference has the same type of feel as it did during the 2013-14 season when Louisville was in the league prior to the Cards joining the Atlantic Coast Conference. And the elephant in the room with the American Conference since its beginning of time has been how many teams could this league get into the NCAA tournament, and what would the seeds be like for teams in the NCAA tournament once they reach the field of 68? Both SMU and Cincinnati last season won 30-plus games, but only six seeds when the brackets came out on Selection Sunday. I look at two teams separating from the pack in this league at Wichita State and Cincinnati, but everybody else, to me, for all intents and purposes, looks like they have a chance to go to the tournament when you look at teams rank 3 through 7. We'll get to those rankings later in the podcast. And coming up next, the head coach of one of those teams, Johnny Dawkins of UCF in Central Florida, joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. It is year two right now for Johnny Dawkins at Central Florida after a long tenure at Stanford, and the former Duke point guard makes his first ever appearance on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, what is the biggest difference for you right now entering year two at Central Florida than there was maybe 12 months ago?
Well, I think one, expectations. As you start trying to build a culture and you want higher expectations for your program. So that's going to be an adjustment for us. You know, I think a lot of times last year we were a program that, you know, we looked at everyone's back and the bullseye was on their back, and we were trying to, you know, really approach it that way. I think coming into this season, there'll be more of a sense of, you know, teams will be prepared, and they'll, you know, we'll have a little bit of a bullseye on our back. And so those subtle adjustments are good for your growth of your program and for your culture.
Now, last season was the first time that you were a head coach anywhere other than Stanford. How did the coaching experience differ at Central Florida versus maybe at Stanford?
Well, I mean, there were a lot more similarities than anything different. You know, coaching is, you know, trying to, you know, mentor your young people, trying to help them become, you know, great, you know, not just on the court, but off the court as well. It's teaching the X's and O's to your team. You have to do that at both places. The biggest difference probably here for us would be, you know, the flexibility of being able to probably recruit a broader range of players than I was able to probably recruit. You know, that was probably the only difference. Other than that, you know, young people are young people. They all want to do the spot to do the same things. They all want to, you know, achieve, you know, some high, lofty goals in our sport. And it's our goal to try to help them accomplish that, along with understanding that there's life afterwards.
Well, it was definitely life afterwards, and, you know, you, before you were head coach at Stanford, were an assistant at Duke, your alma mater, and you jumped to the Pac-12 as a head coach without anything in between that step. What was it like coaching at a level like the Pac-12 without ever running your own program?
You know, it was exciting. You know, I really enjoyed it. I think Coach prepared me very well. You know, Coach K prepared me very well for the opportunity. By allowing me, you know, for a decade there to be a part of everything that he did with our program. So I didn't find that to be as you know, as big as an adjustment as people may have thought, even though I hadn't been a head coach before, because he had allowed me to touch every aspect of the program at Duke. So I was familiar with pretty much everything we were doing.
What was the biggest thing when you were a player that made you want to get on the ground floor at Duke?
Well, looking back on it, that was easy for me. You know, I really bonded with Coach. You know, I think that's still important to this day. When you're choosing a program, I think you better, you know, look at that relationship with that person you're going to play for. And I did that. And I really liked him, and I felt very comfortable with him. And, you know, I could see myself playing for him. And so that was the number one factor that I had in choosing, you know, Duke University.
Central Florida head coach Johnny Dawkins joining John Rothstein on the College Hoops Today podcast right now. And obviously Central Florida, one of the teams on the rise in the American Conference. And you had the unique distinction of playing for Mike Krzyzewski and working for Mike Krzyzewski. How was your relationship different as it went from player to assistant coach?
I think it's like any kind of parent-child relationship. You know, you go from parent-child to, as you start to get older, you know, you become, you know, more friend. And I think that's kind of how our relationship developed, you know, through our profession. So for me, playing for him as player coach and developing a great relationship, you know, built on trust for those 4 years. When I came back to coach for him, you know, and with him, it became a situation where, you know, it was more or less, you know, I was 30 plus years old at that point. So, you know, we were more friends. And so it was a great, you know, relationship that we had built over those early years that allowed us to continue to, you know, have a, you know, really good run during my coaching tenure there with him.
What's the biggest thing that you use from Coach K today with your own team?
The biggest thing that I try to use, you know, from Coach is, you know, basic attention to detail of everything that we try to do. He's big on having attention to detail. You know, we're big on that in our program. I got that from him. Just the everyday, his approach, you know, to the game is one of getting better. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And he attacks it that way every day, just holding our kids accountable, making sure that we have an amazing attention to detail with what we try to do. And I think our kids really respond well to that. They want that. And so it's a function of just holding them accountable, and they can do some amazing things.
Well, you know, you mentioned the relationship between yourself and Coach K as a, you know, a peer eventually when you were working for him versus obviously playing for him as like a father-son. And you are literally going through now a father-son type of dynamic with your son, Aubrey, who is a transfer from Michigan. Beyond basketball, what's it been like coaching your son at the college level?
Beyond basketball, it's been good. You know, it's kind of, you know, neat having him around. At this stage of one's college career in my profession and with my other children, of course, they've all left the house, left the nest, and starting their careers. You know, with him, he's the youngest, and so he's still here, and to have him actually still be here on campus with us has been kind of a little refreshing, because when he left to go away to college, you know, you expected to pretty much that he'd be gone from that point on. To have him back for a couple years, it's been really good for us, I think, for my wife especially, but for me too, you know, to see him, you know, for these last few years before he heads off and make up some of the lost time that we've had based on, as you can imagine, what we do in our careers, to make up for some of that has been very rewarding.
Now, you take the Central Florida job after parting ways with Stanford, you know, about a year and a half ago. Did you give any thought to sitting out a year and getting off the ropes? And if not, what made you attracted to Central Florida?
I love what I do, John. I love coaching, and, you know, it's in me. And just like when I played, I felt the same way as a competitor. You know, I couldn't see myself sitting out given an opportunity. And when you know, I received the call of interest from Central Florida, you know, I'd heard a lot of good things about the program. You know, everyone I'd spoken to had said good things about the conference and about UCF in particular. And so it was intriguing to me. And, I looked at whether you do TV for a year or do you sit out. You know, I was like, it's no way. You know, I love this game, and I'm going to go as hard as I can, you know, in it as long as I can. And that's just my approach. I know some other guys have looked at it in other ways and taken a year off the chance to catch their breath. And I respect that, too. But, you know, I'm not built that way. I felt that I wanted to continue to, you know, coach and be a part of these young men's lives that I have a chance to mentor.
Johnny Dawkins, Central Florida's Johnny Dawkins, joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Knights right now on the rise in the American Conference. And Johnny, you win 24 games in your first year at Central Florida last season. Don't make the NCAA tournament, but do play in the NIT. What's going to be the biggest difference between your team, you think, this season versus last?
Well, you know, one, like I said, we have to keep getting better. I mean, the one thing I've learned about, you know, having, you know, a good season, that's what we had last year, and we want to turn that into a great season, we have to get better. And that's kind of the approach that we have to take. You know, I have a core back of guys that, you know, were key contributors to our program last year, and BJ at the point guard, and AJ as a versatile, you know, wing player for us, and Taco, of course, our center. So, you know, I have a versatile core group of guys that started, you know, a number of games for us returning. And hopefully that will give us some stability, and we can build around those players, you know, going into this season.
You know, you and I have spoke a couple of times off air about BJ Taylor, and he's one of those guys that I've really felt, you know, the last year or two that could emerge as one of the best players in college basketball that nobody knows about. When you think about the great guards that you've had at Stanford, guys like Chase and Randall, or the great guards that you coach as an assistant at Duke, how would BJ Taylor compare?
He's comparable to those players for sure. I mean, he's a terrific guard. I mean, there's not much he can't do out there on the floor with the basketball. He can get where he wants to go off the bounce. He's definitely a capable shooter. He's proven to make big shots, you know, timely shots. He's a fierce competitor. These are things that I really enjoy, you know, learning more about him this past year. And I mean, I didn't know a lot of these going into the season. But as we went through the season together, I had a chance to learn about him and really evaluate him. And, of course, I think he is. I think he's as talented as any of the young guards that I've had a chance to coach.
And that's one anchor that you have. And another one returning is obviously Taco Fall, 7'6" Taco Fall, who tested the NBA draft process and then decided to come back. What ultimately was his final factor in deciding to return to school?
You know, I think he realized that he could still use some more time to continue to develop. I think, you know, based on, you know, the teams that worked him out and interviewed him, he didn't feel that he was probably going to be taken at the number that he wanted to be chosen. And he made a mature decision. A lot of young people will still make that decision regardless of their number. And he didn't do that. He said, you know, he really enjoys school. He likes class. He likes that whole process. So for him, you know, coming back and continuing his education is very important to him, along with, you know, wanting to continue to get better as a player.
And, you know, Johnny, in studying Taco on tape and watching him, it's not so much the shot he blocks, but it's the shots that he alters that make it so tough to run offense against him. In all your years of coaching or playing, have you ever seen a player be able to alter a game defensively the way that Taco Fall can?
Probably one player. The unique guy in that regard is probably Manute Bol was like that for us. Manute Bol, you know, he could really, you know, change. He affected the game around the basket. I mean, he just would alter shots, block shots. He always kept you guessing. You never could get comfortable. You know, you always were looking out for where he may be coming to make a play on the basketball in the paint. And I think Taco is very similar to him in that regard.
You led the nation in field goal percentage defense last year because of Taco in the middle. How would you rate the prospects of this team defensively compared to last year?
Well, we have a lot of work to do. We have to try to become better defensively. You know, Taco's, you know, I think he'll show more versatility next year for us defensively, the way we'll play. I think that the kids that we have, you know, coming in, or young men that we have coming on this year's team, are comparable to the ones we had last year on the perimeter. So I think our defense, defensively, I think we'll be able to continue to make it difficult, you know, especially, you know, around the basket. And that's something that we're going to work on, of course, this fall.
You know, Johnny, you lost one of the best shooters in college basketball last year in Matt Williams, and the unique thing about your roster structure with your program was you had so many guys sitting out, a slew of transfers. Who, in addition to your son Aubrey, can we expect to make some obviously big impact for the Knights next year that maybe wasn't a part of things a year ago?
Well, I think a young man like Deion Griffin, transfer from Louisiana Tech, I think he'll come in and really contribute. He had a good year the year before he sat out for Louisiana Tech. You know, really good shooter, sniper on the perimeter. Can also get in the stance and defend. You know, I think he's someone that will add to our core group of guys that will continue to give us more depth and something that we're excited about.
Now, you know, it's interesting. You look at, obviously, the setup at Central Florida. You know, you got 24 wins last year. You bring back, obviously, an all-league guard in Taylor. You add, obviously, Taco Fall. You know, it feels like you're building towards a run towards the NCAA tournament. Have you broached that subject within your locker room yet?
Well, you know, we always going to have the highest of standards. And that's something I've done no matter where I've been, and that applies to us here at UCF. We should have the highest standards, and competing, you know, at that level is where we think we should be, and our goal is to try to get there, of course. But like I said, we always have our own standards in our locker room. Our guys understand what they are and our own expectations. But as you know, they're always going to be the highest, and that's kind of the way we want our guys focused.
What are your expectations as a staff for next year's team based on what you saw some of the guys do a year ago and what you're adding?
Well, our staff, I think we have to continue to get better as well. I push our guys to improve as players, but also I'm pushing our staff to get better and come up with new ways to approach things and grow and improve so we can keep pushing our players. So I expect our guys to get better this offseason. I think our guys should be out learning, venturing out, seeing other programs, reading, doing other things to make sure that we're on top of our game in preparation for coaching our young people this fall.
Well, and obviously, that's going to be critical because your league has gotten better with the addition of Wichita State, and obviously some other programs have made some strides as well. What has the buzz been like inside the league, at the league meetings, and just in terms of dialogue among programs since Wichita State was added to the fold?
Well, I think everyone's excited about Wichita State joining our conference. There's a lot about the American, of another perennial team coming in that's been an NCAA tournament team, of course, preseason ranked in the top 10, in a lot of polls. And I think they really do add, to what we want to do in our conference. I thought it was terrific anyway, but adding them has only enhanced it. And then the rest of the league is very good. I mean, we were a young league last year. I mean, young conference. And so I think you'll see continued improvement this year for us. I mean, you look at the first, few years of this conference and where it's headed, it should be a multi-league bid. We realize that. I think you have terrific coaches in place. And I think you have a lot of talent that was, like I said, was really young last year. Most teams have everybody returning. So I expect to see a very competitive American Conference this upcoming season.
Well, Johnny, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are getting ready for the July recruiting period. Best of luck in July and look forward to seeing you out on the road.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
We'd like to thank UCF head coach Johnny Dawkins for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Once again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. And right now, they are currently offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/chday and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible has an outstanding collection of exclusive originals, short stories, and comedy, plus the best of news, podcasts, and more, handpicked and continuously refreshed. You can even switch back and forth between reading and listening to the audiobook across many devices, including using Amazon's Kindle and Echo without ever losing your place or missing a word. So visit audible.com/CH today to enjoy a free audiobook program with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/CH today. And it's time now for the social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your American Conference-based related questions. I'll get to them. It's on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question will be right now from Edward Woolard, and it's, John, why did you pick UCF over SMU in your preseason rankings from the American Conference? And for me, it's real simple. I look right now what SMU lost last year with Sterling Brown, with Shemi Ojeleye, and also with a guy like Ben Moore, three guys who are going to play professionally next year. And I think Central Florida, even though they did lose some pieces as well, has more to like when you look at Taco Fall in the middle and B.J. Taylor at the lead guard position. I think when you really look at what you're going to get out of B.J. Taylor, it's one of the least appreciated players in the country. And our next question is from Pat McGinnis. And John, will the AAC command six NCAA tournament teams next season? Pat, I don't think six NCAA tournament teams is realistic, but I do think, as I mentioned, that when you look at this league from 3 to 7, and I'm talking about Central Florida, SMU, UConn, Temple, Houston, you got five teams right there vying for probably two bids. I think the American is a four bid league. I think six is a little bit presumptuous. And now we are going to look right now at who's who in the American Conference, and we start with some power rankings.
John's American Power Rankings.
Number one, we go with Wichita State. Obviously, a very deep team, a team that nearly beat Kentucky last year in the NCAA tournament. Everybody back, including lead guard Landry Shamet. The Shockers, obviously business as usual, but a new league with Greg Marshall. Two Cincinnati, three UCF, four SMU, five UConn, six Temple, seven Houston, eight Tulsa, nine Memphis. Very weird to see a nine next to Memphis. 10 Tulane, making strides under Mike Dunleavy Sr., 11 East Carolina, and 12 South Florida. Now time for the American Conference Preseason Player of the Year.
John's American Preseason Player of the Year.
Very difficult to come up with this, but I'm giving the nod to Landry Shamet from Wichita State. You know, the buzz right now out of Wichita is that Shamet could go down as the best player to play for the Shockers under Greg Marshall. Remember, this is the guy that Greg Marshall switched to point guard last year to allow Connor Francamp to go off the ball. A lot to like with Shamet, 6'4 point guard, redshirt sophomore next year, had 20 in the NCAA tournament against Kentucky. Now, he is obviously one of the top five players in the league. Who are the other four?
John's American preseason first team.
I mentioned Landry Shamet. You know what I think about B.J. Taylor from Central Florida? He's on the list as well. Also went with Shake Milton from SMU, who will have a bigger piece of the pie with Shemi Ojeleye no longer with the Ponies. And then two players from Cincinnati, Jacob Evans and Gary Clark. If we've learned one thing from watching Gary Clark the past couple years, that guy is a problem. Who's the sleeper next year in the American Conference?
John's American Sleeper.
For me, it's the Temple Owls. Temple went 16-16 last year. Josh Brown, their veteran point guard, only played 102 minutes due to an Achilles injury. The year prior to that, Brown logged 1,194 minutes, and the Owls won the league outright. You love what you're seeing out of Quentin Rose over the summer, playing with USA Basketball, averaged 9.7 points per game last year as a freshman. You had Shiz Alston, Obi and Echenonia, a couple of capable bigs, and Damian Moore, and also Ernest Aflakpi. I think Frank and Dunphy has a squad that can compete for a berth to the NCAA tournament. Who are the freshmen to watch next year in the AAC?
John's freshman to watch in the American.
Keith Williams from Cincinnati, Josh Carlton from UConn, a guy who will have to play a big role inside because of UConn's lack of bodies on the interior, Elijah Landrum from SMU, and then two guys to keep an eye on from Temple, Dre Perry and J.P. Mormon's going to take a lot, obviously, to crack the Owls' rotation as a first-year player because of the depth of that team, but Perry and Mormon, the early favorites. Now let's look at some impact transfers.
John's transfers to watch in the American.
We have 10 on this list, 4 junior college players, and then 6 regular transfers. Kane Broome from Cincinnati heads the list, likely to be the Bearcats' starting point guard. Audrey Dawkins from UCF, Jamal McMurray from SMU, Jimmy Witt from SMU, and Akoya Gao from SMU. So 3 SMU transfers. Antoine Anderson, the grad transfer from Fordham, okay, will be the guy for UConn, probably off the bench behind Adams and Gilbert. Samaje Jones from Wichita State to JUCO. 2 JUCO guys from Memphis, Kareem Bruton and also Kyvon Davenport, and then Corey Davis from Houston, who should give the Cougars some depth at guard. Time now to look at some breakout guys.
Dawn's American breakout players for next season.
Top of the list is going to be Jaron Cumberland from Cincinnati, a guy that averaged 8.3 points per game last year as a freshman, but a guy that I think could be Cincinnati's leading scorer next season. Ben Amelagu from SMU's one. Damian Moore from Temple could be the Owl starting five man when all is said and done. I'm also going to go with Armani Brooks from Houston and Jamario Rivers from Memphis. So there you go. That's the American Conference from soup to nuts. An improved conference compared to last year. Looks like a 4-bid league to me on paper. Cincinnati and Wichita State are locks, and I think 2 of the next tier, UCF, SMU, Temple, Houston, and UConn, 2 of those schools will, in my opinion, be in the NCAA tournament. I'd like to thank Central Florida head coach Johnny Dawkins for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week to give our comprehensive breakdown of the Atlantic 10 Conference. We will be back again next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.